that the good Lord is not lacking in resources at all. Do you get my point? I have learned that thing. There's the way the Lord taught it to me, and I'm every day trying not to forget, because it's so important that we don't forget. Now, so I try every time not to forget what the good Lord has been teaching me since the beginning of the year concerning the fact that His resources are not limited. What matters is that you are able to come to the place of rest, the place of faith, when you are walking with God, so that His resources can be made available. I told you that day I had to go and do something, and then, no, actually what happened was that I went to book a flight ticket, and it turned out to be so expensive. So I told the man, nah, how come this thing is so costly? He said, Oga, it's because of the date you are traveling. If you just travel a week earlier, you could save like $300 on this thing, you know? And instinctively, the heart of mine said, okay, now, let me rearrange my program. Then as the Spirit of God just said, just pinch me, like, don't try it. That is, you don't arrange your life according to circumstances, all right? You allow them to cooperate. You allow them to respond to the power of God that's inside you. So I looked, I said, no, I made my plans because of certain reasons, and those reasons have not changed. The only one that has changed is that this man wants to save some money. And I said, no, I will not do that, lest the Lord gets angry with me and puts me out of ministry. Now, I'm very, very serious. No, if I some of these things, it sounds like a joke. But let me say, some preachers don't know, you know, if you as a minister, I've explained this before, you're supposed to be serving something, all right? You know, you're supposed to be imparting the Spirit to people. And if you're not imparting the right Spirit, God will kick you out of ministry. That's why Paul said, I put my body under. Are you getting my point? I buffet my body, lest having ministered to people, I myself become a castaway. It didn't mean I would die and not go to hell. That's not what he was saying. He said, I will suddenly be found useless. God will no longer have an occasion for using me again. Are you getting my point? All right, let's get back into our teaching on the law of faith. And I have some meditations in my heart that I want to share with us today. Now, let's start from the book of Galatians chapter 5. Now, what I want to say initially, you wonder what that has got to do with the law of faith that we are talking about. But then, along the line, you will understand why what I decided to read is. Let me start from verse 16. It said, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets itself against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please, that is, as Christians. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like that, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Now, the next word is pistis in Greek, which is actually faith. If you have a King James, what does it say? Faith, thank you. Now, if you have a New American Standard, like I'm reading here, it says faithfulness, all right? But the word literally is faith, all right? That's why a lot of Bibles use the word literally as faith. So please bear that in mind. There's a reason, it was while I was meditating that my mind went back to this, and I realized this is so important, we'll discuss it today. It said the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, faith, gentleness, verse 23, self-control. Against such things there is no law. He now said, now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. That will show us clearly here that there's a difference between living by something and walking by something. I've explained this one to us before, just in passing, before I get into my teaching today. Let me just say it again. To live means to acquire life. That's the meaning. It's not saying that to live by faith, that is, when I wake up, I only see things by faith. I see things from the Word of God. That is walking by faith. Are you getting my point? That is walking by the Spirit. But living means to acquire life. That is where people said that I would have died because of what the natural circumstances predicted. That is maybe because I am sick and I have a hereditary disorder, or because I do not have the good qualifications in life that appear like people used to make great progress. But despite these things, you will find out that I will live and not die. I will succeed and not fail. The Bible said that what I have done is to acquire life. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. That is, man will not acquire life, derive his existence from bread alone. That is, it is possible for medical science to say you are feeding on a vitamin deficient diet, yet you'll be healthier than the people who are taking vitamin supplements. Are you getting my point? The reason being that you have acquired life from the realm that is not natural. So that's what it means to live by bread. That's what it means to live by the word of God. That is to acquire the strength to survive, to have the ability to triumph and overcome in life from the word of God. You are getting the point I'm making. But then when you talk about walking by refers to the principles that guide your life. The reason why you do the things that you do, your motivation actually for living. That's what you call walking by something. So he said, if we live by the Spirit, then let us also walk by the Spirit. You are getting the point. For example, if somebody is sick and doctor said the person will die, and then you believe that let us pray for this person and the person will get well, all of us will join our hands and pray for Brother X, and Brother X should get well. That is, you expect Brother X to acquire life because of the spiritual principle. Are you getting the point? That in the same manner, therefore, if the man gets raised up from his sick bed, or those of us praying for him, all right, then when we want to make decisions in life, we shouldn't forget that spiritual realm exists. We don't go there only when we need something. Do you get my point? It becomes a part and parcel of our everyday living. That confuse you there? You understand what I said? So that's what Paul was saying, that if we expect results that are supernatural, then we should expect to take decisions having a knowledge in our heart that the supernatural realm is really tangible. It's really real. So he said, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, having read all of this, now what I want to teach today actually is still on the law of faith. And I read this Galatians chapter 5 to highlight some principles of life. You see, while I was thinking about it, some things came to my mind. Notice a few words here. It said, now you've heard this scripture before. The love of money is the root of all evil. You've heard that before. Now, if you have a King James, it will tell you the love of money is the root of all evil. All right? Now, but the truth is that the love of money is not the root, it's a root. That is, there are other roots of evil. Do you understand what I'm going to say? Now, this is how Paul said it. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6. He said that those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare. Don't let me read everything. He said in verse 10, he said, for the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for money, that he was saying, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. He said, but flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, holiness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. I wanted to notice verse 11. He said that, what do you pursue? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Exactly the same things he was talking about in Galatians chapter 5, the same person Paul, as being the fruit of the Spirit. Now, please notice this. He said the love of money is the root, all right? In Galatians 5, he now said that these are the things that are the fruit of the Spirit. I want to notice this. It shows you something that life is actually... Now, this is some of my principles. Just now I learned it to help you, okay? There are these principles of life that I've come to understand by considering these things. I've said this to us many times, and this will help me drum it in now. And that's the fact that many of the things that people are gunning for, you know, I've said this, are not actually their rewards. They are not things you reach for by themselves. Do you get my point? That is, a man is looking for long life and prosperity. God said there are no ways of grabbing long life and prosperity that I give them to the people that I'm pleased with. So what you can make your target in life is to be pleasing to God. You cannot rise up and say, now let me get long life and prosperity. No, you will do things that are pleasing to God, and then the good Lord will now give you long life and what? Prosperity. Now, in the same manner, you know, for many years, I've been meditating and wondering, have you ever seen a stupid person before? What do you mean, like a man is stupid? Imagine somebody is behaving so stupidly. An adult. I'm not talking about somebody who doesn't know anything about life. How come he's this stupid? How come he has no self-control? How come when it's so obvious that they are deceiving him, he can't pull out? Yet everybody else can see that this is deception. And this guy is going to ruin himself and everybody else that attaches himself to him. I'm bringing out something here. Those are the fruits of life. Such behaviors are the fruits of life. Now, listen to me again. Do you know that David knew he was in trouble when he sent for Uriah's wife, Bathsheba? I don't know how you get my point. How come he couldn't restrain himself? The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says what? Self-control. Listen, this man, he should be disciplined. Listen to me, discipline is a fruit. It's not a root. Come on, you should be motivated. Listen to me, motivation is a fruit. It's not a root. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying in life. You see a man who cannot take his eyes away from other women, yet is married. It is not the root. It's what? A fruit. Are you getting my point? It's not the root. It's a fruit. So, you see, people can tackle roots. They can't tackle fruit. One day, my wife told me about a young lady that she knew. I mean, the gist is popular for everybody in that area. This girl was in the church. She got pregnant. Her one brother in the church. She left the church, went to another church, slept with almost all the men in this choir, got pregnant for one, and that one ejected his wife to marry her in a Pentecostal church. When I heard the story, I said, where's her father? I said, she's behaving typically like a girl that has been cursed by her father. That her behavior is not a root. It's what? A fruit. When I mentioned, I thought my wife or my sister-in-law said, and that one. That when the last one happened, her father phoned and said, I mustn't see her feet near my house. I said, it's obvious that you cannot have a father who loves you and prays for you and behave like this. See, I'm bringing out some issues to us. A lot of things you see people do, they are what? Fruits, not roots. Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit. No, we're talking about the law of faith. And that's why I emphasize that one of the things he called the fruit of the Spirit is faith. But let's take the whole thing so he just help us in this series. He talks about love, joy, peace, all those in long-suffering, self-control. He said these things are the fruit of the Spirit. That is, they are not the things you can control. The only thing you can control are roots. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, David, listen to me. The moment he set his eyes on Bathsheba, he knew he had the problem. But he couldn't control it anymore. I wrote an article many years ago. I called them the steep slopes of life. There are times that revelation came to me as a friend of mine, a brother, was telling me the calamities his uncle was going through. And suddenly the Spirit of God quickened something. I said, this guy has gone over a cliff. He can't stop. He said, one calamity after another is befalling this man. I said, he's over a cliff. He can't stop. That the time he could control this thing was before he got to the edge of that cliff. The moment he went over, it's beyond him now. Then it dawned on me that that's how life is. That God gives you the opportunities to keep moving in one direction. Then a time comes where the Bible said the destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. We can't stop it now. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, there are times that blessings are determined. The day Isaac was sacrificed by Abraham, God said, by myself I have sworn. That is, from now on, there is nothing you can do to turn around the blessings of Abraham. Abraham, at that point, had lost the ability to curse God. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. Listen, this is how life is. That is, there are things that are roots, and there are things that are what? Fruits. It works on the good side, it works on the evil side. I'm talking about human behavior, the character of people, spiritual qualities. A lot of them are fruits, they are not roots. That's why I read from Galatians chapter 5. Because you see, the works of the flesh, these are the things that the flesh produces. So Paul warned, he said, walk by the Spirit. And you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. What he was saying is that you cannot fight against the desires of the flesh. All you can do is go to the root. Do you get what I'm going to say? Listen, for those of us who are around on Monday, how many of us were here on Monday? I shared some things there that are very, very, in my opinion, very intense. One of the things I explained Let me just go on with that. On Monday, when we're starting from Genesis chapter 25, I took almost 20 minutes or more to explain the reason why Abraham said, please, you can't marry for my son from anywhere but from my kindred. We discussed that one at length. And I said something there. I said, the reason, now I'm amplifying it now, this is what we found out, that it is not as if we are saying there are no nice people among the Canaanites. We are not saying that there are no good people of what you and I will call good character there. It's just that they have the root that when it springs forth, what it will produce is bitterness. Are you getting my point? That when Esau married, that marriage was a source of depression for Rebekah and for Isaac. And Esau married a Hittite. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is, you must learn to decipher lineage. That is, the problem I have, I said that on Monday, with Christians, is not that they look at lineage. Who's his father? Where has he come from? It's the kind of lineage they are looking at. I don't know whether I get my point. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Are you getting my point? Paul always emphasized about God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He never said the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That is, he was beginning to define a new lineage. Listen, there are churches, now, I want to say this with care, but please don't understand. He that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit says through Banky to the people of God. There are churches that if a man wants to marry from now, and he comes to me and say, Pastor, I found a young woman. I like her so much. I would like to marry her. And I'll say, that's the church she attends. He says, yes. I said, then give it to her as a condition that she's coming out of that church as soon as you marry. If the guy says the girl doesn't agree, I will not say don't marry. But in my heart, I have dissociated myself from that marriage. I know they're not going anywhere. I'm serious, though. I mean what I've said, like, just like I've said it. Because I'm talking about what? Lineage, that is, what is the seed, the root inside the person? Let me tell you, all these Hollywood marriages you see, the last 2.5 months, you know, Jennifer Lopez, all those ones, are you getting my point? You think they were married? They were thinking that, look, in 2.5 months, I will have had enough of this girl and then I'm leaving. Do you think they thought so? It's a time of crisis. That what is inside comes out. Are you getting my point? That's when it comes out. It's not when everything is hunky-dory. When life is going on cool. The first few weeks, oh, honey, sugar. In fact, honey is jamming chocolate, sugar. Everything is sweet. If at that time, if you slap your wife, say, that slap was with love and affection. It sank into my face with the blessing of the Lord. I'm telling you. Then after some time, you go cool down. Life go equate. You understand my point? Then you will now see the manifestation of the root that's inside. Are you getting my point? Now, what am I trying to say? That's the quarrel I have with Christians. When they start focusing on the wrong lineage, which is he a Hausa man or a Yoruba man, an Igbo man or an Ijo man? Are you getting my point? That is ungodly. That is not scriptural. Is his village next to my own? That is of the flesh. He that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Are you getting what I want to say? But Paul said, henceforth I know no man after the flesh. One thing I know is that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. You are getting what I'm saying? But now, having established that, if we understand it very well, roots, you can look and know. Look, you know where this person is coming from. You know where he's going. Now, listen, the guy may be tall, dark, and handsome, and very, very rich right now. In 10 years' time, depending on the kind of root, he's become short, fair, and ugly, and poverty-stricken. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. Why? Because what we are looking out is what? At is the root. It is the thing that is inside that will eventually bring forth fruit. Listen, you know what will rise again? Anything that still has root. When they cut down Nebuchadnezzar, he said, leave the stump there. That is, the root is still there. In fact, they chained it to the ground. They can't go anywhere. Then one day, it began to grow again. Are you getting my point? David said, my enemies don't rejoice over me when I go down. He said, because I shall what? So that's the eye he sees with evil. Something that evil may not be apparent now. He said, relax, good man. I shall rise again. You are getting my point. Now, I'm explaining something here. Then we saw, that was why Abraham, having understanding, said, look, Isaac, I know the girls here are fine, and I know they like you. But bros, I know where we are going. The root inside them cannot, it will produce something that will not allow you to inherit the blessing of God. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you here. That is, in life, oh, there are things that are roots. There are things that are what? Fruits. Fruits you can't tackle. They come out by themselves. Okay, let me conclude that thing we said on Monday. So I explained that that is why you tell a young lady or a young man, don't marry somebody who is not a believer. We are not saying nice people don't exist amongst unbelievers. We are not saying that. I quoted Derek Prince for you there on Monday. I said, Derek Prince described Esau as a nice chap. That an American would have called Esau a good guy. You know, how many of you watched the Training Day? I looked at one scene in that movie. Here were criminals, big men, crooks, murderers, drug dealers themselves by proxy, introducing themselves. He's a good man. He's a good man. You get what I'm saying? These are all crooks, lawbreakers who are supposed to be law enforcers. They are calling themselves good men. In America, certain mafia men call themselves good fellas. There's a movie they did on that, good fellas. That's actually what they call themselves, good fellas. You're getting my point. So Derek Prince said, you see, Esau was a good man. But he was described in the New Testament as what? A godless man. Oh, I don't want to preach that message. You can go and beg Lucy Menka to get you one copy of the CD. That, see, his godlessness was reflected. Now, listen to this. I'm going to expand that today. It was reflected in the fact that he couldn't perceive the value of his birthright. The ability to perceive is what? A fruit is not a root. A godless attitude is a root. The love of money is a root. I tried to identify a few roots before I came for today's meeting. Pride is a root. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and what? The pride of life. These are roots. You know what it means? They bear fruits. Fruits of foolishness, fruits of unnecessary anger. You know, you see? Oh, God. Now, please. Now, let me just say something. Now, when a man is reacting sometimes, you don't know why he's reacting the way he's reacting. The experiences in life the person has had, are you getting my point? That's produced a kind of, you cannot tell the person at that particular point in time, why are you reacting like this? I almost fought a conductor in Lagos once. I won't tell the details of the story. Over 5 naira. It was not 5 naira. 5 naira was the smallest of my problem. It was change. It was that I saw this man had played me for a fool. Do you get my point? Now, 5 naira was not the issue. I said, this guy thinks he's smart. I didn't know when I rushed him. It was at the end of everything that they beg of God, sorry now, and my book had fallen down. One of them had torn, that I realized that, gosh, if they hear this story, they will say it's 5 naira. But you know the truth is that it wasn't 5 naira. When you hear that two guys were fighting, over 10 naira, and one killed the other, it was not 10 naira. Don't be ignorant. That fight is a fruit. The root is, it could be love of money, or it could be pride. Pride is a very terrible one. That is, this guy, now it's 10 naira that they are fighting over. So much that one drew a gun on the other guy. But the point is that his soul is not fighting for 10 bucks. His soul is fighting for its pride. Are you getting my point? So what you have seen as anger is actually a fruit of a root called the pride of life. That's why I said, look, listen, most all of us. If God does not disgrace you in certain places, he can't bless you in life. That is, he will first make sure you have no pride to defend. You will be so disgraced. Then, pride, no, they worry you again. Oh, God, I don't. If we have enough time, I want to dig some of these things out. Because, you see, I said that what is actually worrying people that you are complaining about, they are fruits,
and human beings can't tackle fruits. That's why psychologists, they start doing Freudian analysis. They want to find out what is the root. Unfortunately, they go after things that don't exist. That is, they look for root. They can't see the, anything they see below the surface. They call it the thing. When in the reality, Esau was a godless man. All right? He was a profane man. Therefore, he sold his birthright. And okay, that's what I was trying to explain. Now, you will look and say, Esau, why are you so stupid? How could you sell a whole birthright that is going to produce or was going to produce Jesus Christ for the earth? Are you getting my point? How could you sell it for one morsel of meat? We all know that it was not because he was hungry. I discussed that one on Monday. You think Jacob took advantage of him? Jacob never did. Jacob took advantage of his godlessness. Now, get my point. It wasn't because he was hungry. My illustration that day was, let's assume for 3 days I have not eaten. I am hungry, I'm almost fainting. Then you come up to my car. I say, Pastor, this is your car, it's very fine. I like this black color and the tinted glasses. I see you are very hungry. Here's 200 card. You take the car. Let me take the car, give you 200 bucks. Can I eat anything you want? All the anointing inside my soul will curse you that day. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Because to me, the value of the car, forget hunger. Hunger. You're following my point. That is, in Esau's case, it was a reflection of the fact that he was a godless man that showed up in the fact that he couldn't understand the value of his birthright. That is, listen, wisdom, I always say, is a gift of God. If God doesn't open your eyes, you can't see. He said, what good is this birthright to me now? Jacob understood that even if I died, I will live again if I have the birthright. You are getting what I'm trying to say? One who's alive, say, what use is it to me? Jacob understood that it's my defense in life. That even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if I have this birthright, the Lord has to be with me. It's his investment. Jacob understood that, they've told him a story about his father, grandfather Abraham, what they went through before his father was born. Jacob was like, Jesus, Kai. Now this is the day. They say a day. If I have to keep moving. And in this house, you can only pass through one person. They said, yes. Yeah, it must be me. So he went and met Esau. Esau said, now clear. In life, a man is a man of himself. What you fight for is what you get. If you rise up early, you get the things that come out early. If you come back home late, the things that come out the whole day, they are with you. A man prospers according to the labor of his hand. I don't need no God. Ha! Jacob said, you have said well. In fact, for one morsel of meat, can I have the birthright? Jesus said, take. And in fact, initially, Jesus said, it is enough free. Nothing goes for nothing, man. Did I not tell you that a man has to take hold of his destiny? Jacob said, they come. Jacob was stalking him for when he would want something. And the moment he wanted something, the only price Jacob asked for was that birthright. Why? Because the man could see the value. You are getting my point? That is, the ability to see the value is what? A fruit. But the root is how much you love the Lord, how much your heart reaches out for God. What I'm saying, is it clicking? You are following that? So listen, when you see a foolish man, it is not his fault. Foolishness is a fruit, it's not a root. I tried to identify a few roots for us. Number one, I said, the love of money, we read that one. The Bible says it's a root of all forms of evil. It said many have reached for it, and therefore they have pierced. In fact, what did they say? When they reached for it, what happened? They departed from the faith. That's what I wanted to hear. It said in reaching for it, they departed from the faith. Now, you see why some pastors preach all kinds of things. I told you, you can't. Oh, who was it that was telling me that? Well, I heard one preacher say that you can't argue with a blind man. You know why? He can't see. You can use PowerPoint to project it. He can't see. You can get an architect to give you a 3D model of it. He can't see. Are you getting my point? Until the man can see, there's no point arguing over whether something is red, purple, yellow, green, or black. The man can't see. Please, are you following me? Now, this is the point I'm making. That's what you see in life. When people are making anyhow judgments, making anyhow decisions. It is not at that moment, oh God, I don't know how to, I hope you are getting what I'm going to say. It's something that's already going on in their lives. So when you see the, you go up to the man of God and say, ah, pastor, what you are preaching is not right. You have 50 scriptures to show him that what he's saying is not scriptural. Listen to me. The Bible makes it very clear that wisdom is a fruit. Are you getting my point? Self-control, which makes a man not take what does not belong to him, is a fruit. The root is that he loves money. And Paul said, many departed from the faith because of their love for money. So every time they preach, they grab the scripture. It has always has something to do with how somebody can bring an offering from his pocket. Don't be angry with the man. That's what? A fruit. Don't even take paper and go and start arguing. Say, man of God, sit down. Let me show you that this is not how it works. It's irrelevant. It's unnecessary. The point is that there, once there is the love of money, what you are seeing is a fruit which made him what? Depart from the faith. What I'm saying, are you following it? Now you understand why I read Galatians chapter 5. You have understood that point. Because, see, faith, now let's not get back on the matter of faith. You know, I was saying something, let me conclude that. So when they say a woman especially, should not marry an unbeliever, it's not because the guys are not nice or they are not nice unbelieving girls. There are. It's just that we are seeing that there is a root that will eventually become manifest. Like they asked somebody once, what is wrong with marrying an unbeliever? He laughed. He said, what is wrong with taking the father, making the devil your father-in-law? Are you getting what I'm going to say? It is not now. It's when you need your father-in-law that you understand the issues. Oh, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. So now that we've established that, let's now sit on our matter of faith. Faith, I said, is what? A fruit. Like we read in Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, the fruit of the Spirit. He says, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith. Literally in Greek, it says faith. Now, I need to explain that thing again about faith, which I have established in previous discussions. And that's the fact that, you see, faith is not something, from everything I have said, you can see that it's a fruit. Therefore, it's not something you can personally reach for. I don't know whether you get my point. That Jesus said it in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. We read that one. Maybe we should just, for a second, quickly go back there to help me to explain this point. Actually, where I'm going is 25. But Jesus, having explained the things he has said up to this point, he said, therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them. And I explained before that is, if you can believe, that's what he was saying. If that believing is in your heart, that you have received them, then they will be granted you. He said, whenever you stop, you stand praying. Now this is in connection with that praying thing. He now said, whenever you stand praying, that is when you are going to say this prayer of faith by which you will ask for something. He said, if you have anything against anyone, he said, forgive, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. Now, what's the point here? I said something earlier that faith is what? A fruit. It is not a root. Let me add this one to it. Unforgiveness, okay? Bitterness, all right, is a fruit, but unforgiveness is also a root. Are you getting the point? Now, that one works both ways. Now, but what I want to bring out from here is this. Jesus was emphasizing that faith cannot be in the heart that is unforgiving. Now, I said something to us, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago. I said, you cannot believe that which doesn't exist. Can you remember that? Now, this is how I illustrated it. Now, Jesus, I said, I ask for anything, just believe. To help you understand what that belief is, you cannot now go and pray to God and say, God, I want to believe that Satan does not exist anymore. Therefore, I want to pray right now and I will believe and you will eradicate Satan. You know why you can't believe that? Satan really exists. I don't know whether you get my point. Faith is not how to change things that are into what they are not. Faith is how to bring the reality of the Spirit to the visible realm. Are you getting my point? That is, a man of faith has actually seen something. I've said this thing again and again and again and again. The man of faith has what? He has seen something. He has perceived something. And that's what he's trying to bring out to reality. That's why you cannot pray against his will. Are you getting what I'm saying? The Bible said that if we ask according to his will, he hears. That is, what is not the will of God, you don't have the ability to believe it. You can, because I'm bringing out something here. You see, faith starts with God. So if something is not the will of God, he cannot minister that faith to your heart to believe it. You know, say, ah, Pastor, are you saying that faith can be ministered to people's hearts? Yes. Oh, it's now I'm beginning to understand. You know, let me just say this one by the way, all right? At the beginning, it's easy to differentiate between fruit and gift. Are you getting my point? When you enter into the depths of spiritual things, you can't. It's hard. There was Jesus operating by the manifestation of the Spirit, which Paul said in his faith, or was just manifesting by the faith that he could muster out from his own heart. It becomes difficult. The reason is this. It is the same God. Now, listen to this. It's the same God that ministers that gift of faith. It's the same God that trains a man's heart in faith. The gift of faith is actually an acceleration of many years of training in 1 second. Are you getting my point? That is what God will have done in training you in years. He just suddenly in 1 second, your heart becomes solidified. And you just know that this thing is real. And after that, you don't know what made you so sure. You know, this week I was listening to Kenneth Hagin in one of his CDs. And one of the things he said is that he began to minister, to study the authority of the believer. And I'll say something about authority today also. He said he began to talk about the minister about it because once he didn't know why he was doing it, but he just did it. The man who was his Sunday school superintendent fell from a crane or something into a machinery, and the man almost died. In fact, one lung was collapsed and all of that. And the doctor said he would die there. They sent for Hagin, his pastor, who came. And to their surprise, after an hour or two, the man didn't die. So they had to move him to hospital. They said he would die as soon as he gets to hospital. He got to hospital, he didn't die. Then Hagin noticed something, that once he's with a man, all right, the man stabilizes. Once he dozes off, that is, if he, Hagin, falls asleep, crisis breaks, and as if the man dies until he wakes up. And so he will go out and go and pray. He said that he kept on praying and telling God, no, the man can't go. This is the reason why he can't go. I rebuke death. And, you know, he said he was rebuking death. Cut a long story short. After a few days, the man became well. Then the man told the story of why he couldn't remember. He remembered falling off, but didn't remember hitting the machine that crumbled him so bad. But one thing he knew was that at the point in time, he got to heaven and he was so happy as he was approaching. The Lord just appeared and said, you, go back. And he said, no, I don't want to go back. I like it here. Why should I go back? He said, your pastor, that's Kenneth Hagin, will not let you come. Ah. Like, what do you mean? He said, then they opened like a curtain for him to see. And he heard the man praying. He said, no, he can't die now. I rebuke death. Ah. He said, so, oh boy, you got to go back. And the next thing he knew was that he woke up in hospital. And he began to recover. And then he became well. Now, Hagin said that after that, he began to study the authority of the believer. And all of, you know, now let me cut a long story short. He said he did not even know why he did that thing. Now, you have to understand that it's possible I understand some things he didn't understand. Not because I'm better than him, but because I heard him teach everything he understood. Then we are building upon what he already taught us. Do you get my point? All right. And he used to say that there are things he doesn't understand. Like, please, if you know, come, tell me. I would like to know. Now, when I read that, I just realized something. That he was operating the gift of faith he didn't know. Because he said himself afterwards that he didn't even realize why he began to rebuke death. He did not know he had the ability to do the things he was doing. So he said, now began to study about the authority of the believer and realize that we have authority, this and this. Now, let me explain something here. Many people practice that, okay, and didn't get the results they desired. Why? But Ken Hagin did not listen to me. There are many things. Now, most people practice some things where they don't have authority. I don't know whether you get my point. There are many factors involved. Now, listen to this. You can learn all those factors and understand them properly, and you will know how to exert authority. But I don't know how long it's going to take you. But this is the manifestation of the Spirit. You don't learn it, then suddenly faith drops in your heart. Just like Hagin told in that story, you become so sure of what you are saying. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Afterwards, you wonder, why was I so sure? Do you know why? because you do not have the understanding to take it to that level, but God dropped a gift of faith in your heart. Now, please, follow what I'm saying now. What did I say? Faith is basically what? A fruit. Is the root that you can go after. It's God that builds up faith in your heart. There are times, crisis periods, Paul said there are diversities of manifestations. There is one he called faith by the same spirit. Then faith drops in your heart and you don't even know how you got there.